All right, Philippians chapter number 1. Now, lest you get offended or upset, it's important for people to know where you stand on issues like that. You don't want somebody coming in here and thinking that you're going to report that kind of an issue here and then have it hidden under the auspices of, you know, well, I think you should be able to tell the preacher certain things and it not be anywhere. Let me just tell you now, and it's good for anybody that's listening, you come to tell me something like that, you're probably going to have a hard time getting out of the office before the police get called. You're not going to cover that kind of stuff up. And God help you if you have a young daughter or a young girl and you have a preacher tell her, well, honey, you should just get over that and don't worry about that. I mean, after all, it's just a physical thing. I'm cleaning it up a little bit. Yeah, just a physical thing. You don't need to be around people like that. And people need to know that's not tolerated. And if it makes you nauseated, well, then there's something wrong with you. You don't hide that stuff in a church. That's biblically incorrect. You want God to bless something, certain things you have to drop the hammer on. You don't play with that stuff. The ministry of this church, the testimony of this church, well, we're just going to kind of cover it up. No, sir. You don't come in and tell me that. You're going to be going out in bracelets. Or if we need another speed bump, we'll help you down the road. So, well, preacher, I don't know. No, I don't care if that guy knows who I'm talking about. God help him if he calls me. I've done everything I could not to call him because of what he did several years ago and to tell him flat out, you're a stinking pervert. But if he calls me because he happened to get a copy of that or somebody says, well, you know, I know who he's talking about. Good, let him call me. I don't care if he knows where I stand on that. Why would that bother you? Shouldn't bother you at all. Well, I don't want to be around anybody like that. I want the people that listen to that fella to know I'm not standing with him, and sometimes silence speaks volumes. Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much harm. The Lord reward him according to his deeds. So, the Lord reward him. I don't want anybody to think because he's some prolific writer and he's got all this stuff on this and that and the other and he's respected in certain circles and all that kind of stuff. I want them to know I'm not for that. I don't want to be guilty by association. I'm telling you now, if I was going somewhere and I know he's going to be there to preach, other than the devil, I would go there to do something I shouldn't do. I wouldn't go. You say, why? I'm not going to sit there and be quiet. I don't care if he preaches the greatest message this side of eternity because of what he's associated with. That's my own personal conviction. You can do with it whatever you want to do with it. But it's right, I can tell you that. All right, Philippians. We're in Philippians. And the Apostle Paul here is talking about some things that have to do with, ladies and gentlemen, have to do with Christian conduct that requires Christian character. The Apostle Paul says this, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The conversation there is your way of living, not just your talk. And I'll show you that in just a second. Let your conversation be as it becometh Christ, the gospel of Christ, that whether I come see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, unity, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And nothing terrified by your adversaries, tending to indicate that if you're living right, then you're going to have some adversaries, some people that are going to be against you, which is to them evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, salvation, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah, going to heaven when I die, eternally secure, but, here come some of the buts of the Lord here, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflicts you saw in me and now here to be in me. Brother Lutz, you pray and ask the Lord to bless the message, would you please? Amen. 1 Peter 3, as you're being seated, thank you. 1 Peter chapter number 3, let's deal quickly with this thing about conversation. A lot of times nowadays what we think conversation is that it's just how we talk, how we talk, how we talk. Now this is a method of Bible study. It's called scripture with scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. So we take the word conversation and we see how it's used in other sentences. So in 1 Peter chapter number 3, if it's just how you talk, watch how it's used here, verse number 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, watch it, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And then he goes on, whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning, the plaiting of hair, the wearing of gold, and so on and so forth, but the hidden man of the heart. Look in verse number 4, and which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and what? Quiet. Meek and what? Quiet spirit. What the Lord says there is he says, listen, if you have a man that's not doing what he's supposed to be doing in the household and you're supposed to be living right, he's saying to you, close your mouth and let him see it by how you live. That's called conversation. Now, I know that's unpopular nowadays, but it's the Bible. Ma'am, if you're a Bible believer, you do what the Bible tells you to do. The temptation is to talk it to death and not live it. Is to have an opinion about everything. Men are funny about listening to too many words. They're problem solvers. You want to tell them, you know, how to get to the thing. Go out here, turn right, drive till you run into the store down here. But a woman wants to say, and you go down here, and then there's this place. There's this big, sharp curve, and usually there's a little dog on that corner there. And then you go over a little further down there. There's a little duck pond there, some little ducks in there, and some people stand on that corner. And you come right on around that corner. There's a good eating place there. There's a Bob Evans there, and there's also a Steak and Shake that's there. And then you go to that next driveway right there, and you turn. You got to go by Office Depot. That'll be there on your right-hand side. You pull on down. There's a little massage place there. And then you go down there. And the food place you're looking for, Fresh Market's right there in front of you. Now, you can amen it or not amen it, but that's a natural way to do things. Y'all all sitting there looking at me like a bump on a log, like. You men are like, You know what a man's like? Just tell me how to get there. I don't care about the trip along the way. Come back to Philippians chapter number 1. All right, so he says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, what he's saying there is, ladies and gentlemen, people pay attention more to how you live than they do to what you say. You want to write that down in the margin of your Bible? You can. But you want to remind yourself constantly, people pay more attention to how you live than what you say. The greatest men I've ever known in my life are generally men of few words, with the exception of a couple of preachers, but their lives are stellar. They represent character. And so, you know what happens? You can tell a lot about a man by how you watch him live. You can't always trust what he says. That must be true. Your silence speaks volumes. Too many Christians that speak too many words, generally speaking, there's some moral issues or money issues in the background. They're covering up with too many words. One of the ways that you know that somebody's got something going on, they're just a chatterbox. You sit down to try to talk with them and they're... What they're saying is watch the birdie, watch the birdie, watch the birdie while I'm over here doing so. I don't want you to know what's going on, so... And then you got to watch for this. Among Bible believers, they know the buzzwords. They know the things to say. They know the things to talk about. They know the things to get you to thinking that they're spiritual. So all they're doing is talking. Spirituality is determined by action, not by words. Somebody tells you they're spiritual and they don't pay their bills, they're not spiritual at all. Somebody tells you they're spiritual, they don't have the character to show up for work like they're supposed to, they're not spiritual at all. That's not biblical. Somebody tells you that they're spiritual and they don't pay their responsibilities or take responsibility for their actions, that's not spiritual at all. I don't care if they know the Bible from A to Z, can rightly divide, can split it with a fine-tooth comb and right down the middle and split every hair dispensationally that there is. Spirituality is by action, not by words. I'm not impressed at all with somebody that comes in and tells me, I know this, come up with some new theology, always wanting to talk words, 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 words. I'm suspicious of that. My daddy taught me this a long time ago. It was echoed by the old preacher. He said, somebody that's always talking about something along those lines, there's something going on behind the scenes that they don't want you to see. I've found that to be true. I found the people that claim to be the most spiritual that are always coming up with some theology or something like that, there's moral ethic, there's moral problems going on behind the scenes. I found that to be absolutely true. So when it comes to Christian conduct, don't be so interested in worrying about whether you can lead somebody to the Lord. All you want to do is just learn how to live right and do right. If it's wrong, stop it. Amen. Quit doing it. Amen. You have a responsibility for something, be willing to man up and accept the responsibility. I hear all these guys talking about, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. Oh, okay, great, fine. I hear you talking, well, how are we judging manhood? Because you can talk it to death? Manhood is determined by, can you be responsible for your actions? Can you take care of the things that you're responsible to take care of? And do it honestly.
Amen.
Knowing the Bible doesn't mean you're spiritual. It doesn't even mean you know God.
Amen.
I don't mean to get you upset, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord's interested in how you live, not what you say.
Amen.
What you say doesn't mean anything. The Pharisees could say it all. They went to hell. Where does that leave you? Good, solid Christian character will carry you a whole lot further than knowing all the new theology that's out there and reading every book in the world. Somebody that's constantly got their nose buried in a book you want to be leery of. They're hiding something. There's got to be a practical application of the book. All right, Philippians, come on down a little bit further. Philippians chapter number 27 there, he says, stand fast in one spirit. Now, when it comes to this thing about unity, come to the book of Romans. You want to make sure that you clearly understand this thing about Romans. That's not this, you know, we have to get along with everybody. That's Rodney King. I have to quit using that, I guess. Most of you probably don't even know who Rodney King is. You kids know anything about Rodney King? Probably not. You don't even know who that is. How many of you even know who Rodney King was? Okay, well, it's not too bad of an outdated illustration. Rodney King's a guy that ran at 100, over 100 and something miles an hour. They snatched him out of the car and they beat the tar out of him and all that kind of stuff. Of course, police, they got all carried away. It was all the police's fault. They should have just let him run a red light, kill somebody, and let him go. And they shouldn't have done anything to him. I know they got a little carried away and stuff like that. It caused the Watts riots. And people tore up the town over there because of, quote, police brutality, and LAPD did this and LAPD did that and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, King made the statement, I don't know why we just can't all get along. He died a dope-headed drunk, drowned in his pool. He spent all the money he got from the lawsuits and stuff that he won and all the claim to fame, running it up his nose and shooting it all through his veins. That tells you the kind of character the guy had. I'm not justifying what they did, but if he hadn't run, that would have never happened. It wasn't even a race thing, like they try to make everything nowadays. It wasn't a race thing at all. It was he ran from the police, and they were like, okay, we're a little pent up, a little frustrated, and so they took it out. I didn't say it was right, but people don't take for instance, if he hadn't run, would we have even had the Watts riots? Nobody put any blame on him at all. It's all poor suspect. Well, he was a black man. Had nothing to do with that. Had nothing to do with that at all. Well, what happened? Well, he wound up getting a load of money and all that other kind of stuff and turned the city upside down and burned half the city up and all that kind of a deal. He comes out on the other side. Why can't we just all get along? Because you're not supposed to just get along with everybody. You don't have to be a jerk about it, but Christians nowadays think they're just supposed to get along with them. Well, not according to the Bible. Look, if you will, please, in Romans. The Bible teaches you clearly in the book of Luke, whoso loveth mother, father, sister, brother, husband, and wife, yea, his own children, and yea, his own children, and yea, his own life also, can't be my disciple. Some choices have to be made. Am I going to follow Jesus, or am I going to do what's more convenient for me? Now, I'm for you staying in touch with your family and sit down and have dinner with them and do whatever you want. Don't you go out of here and say, the preacher's trying to tell me not to talk to my family. He's a cult. He's just trying to get us to talk to nobody. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying when whatever is in your life gets between you and Jesus Christ, it ain't right. I don't care who it is. Your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa, your papa, your pawpaw, anybody else along there, your wife, if they get between you and God, it's not right. You need to fix something. That's biblical, and I continue to believe that unless you can prove. Well, we should just learn to love them. I didn't say he didn't love them, but you don't love them above him. He's first. Some of you are a little squeamish now. All right, notice what he says. This Apostle Paul, Romans chapter number 16. Look in verse number 16. He says, salute one another with a holy kiss. You don't know nothing about anything holy when it comes to kissing anymore, so you can just eradicate that one. You don't need to be worrying about kissing each other. You say, why? You live in a day and time now where queers are out of the closet, and if you kiss another man, even if it was in the name of Jesus, they're going to be wondering whether or not you're queer. So you don't be greeting each other in a holy kiss, and you sure don't be kissing somebody else's wife or daughter. Amen, 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 amen. In the mouth, on the cheek, on the neck, or anything else. You say, why? It ain't right. And girls, sometimes you have to be the one to turn your head away and say, whoa, man, I'm thank you, nice to see you. You know how to do that. I don't care if they're old or young. I don't care nowadays if male or female. Sometimes a female walks up and wants to plant one on you. Whoa, baby, hang on now. We ain't like that. You know what I'm saying? Just making sure people know, I just love you in the name of Jesus. You can love me in the name of Jesus from a distance. You too close. Listen, you got to watch that stuff. That's that stuff of getting close and having this, front-to-front hugging and all that other kind of stuff. That's dangerous stuff. You say, why? You watch too much TV, too much internet, you thinking something wrong in the first place. I don't want nobody kissing my wife but me. Well, I just think, she ain't your wife. You do with whatever you want. Put cellophane on your lips is what we need to do just to keep you from doing that. You wind up dying of suffocation. Holy kiss. You know, holy, that means pure. That means clean. No perversion. You know why we don't do foot washing? It's not only not an ordinance, but you couldn't do that nowadays. You say, why? It's not only not an ordinance for you to do, but you imagine some man or some woman down on their knees and washing your feet, where their mind would be at? And preacher, one lady says, I just believe in foot washing. I said, good. Sit in the edge of your bathtub and wash your feet. I ain't washing your stinking feet. You say, why? They're your feet. I'll wash my own. My wife don't even wash my feet. In the church, you're going to get you a bucket of water and a towel and go down and wash people. We had us a service. We washed each other's feet. Okay, won't be long before somebody's going to be swallowed a pumpkin seed and run off with somebody's wife. And yeah, you say, what do? You just don't do it. Not an ordinance. Baptism and Lord's Supper are the ordinances, not foot washing. Oh, you're so pure and holy. God, I know, I understand. Well, I can do it without being affected by that. Well, you must be queer or something. So then I don't want you washing my feet. I got you going and coming. Well, I'm not queer. Okay, then you may be a fornicator. You ain't washing her feet either. What do? Go wash. If you got to wash somebody's feet, go wash your own. Mine don't need washing that bad for you to wash my feet. Amen. That's good preaching. Practical stuff. You say, why? It's going on in our churches, for Pete's sake. How stupid is that? In the name of spirituality. That's like showing somebody how to beat their child. Anyway, now we beseech you, brethren, watch it. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and do what? Avoid them. So what we're talking about is when it comes to biblical separation, it's not that unity is supposed to, it's unity under the auspices of the Bible, rightly divided the right way. If somebody has the wrong doctrine, the Lord said, you need to stop. Leave them alone. He said, avoid them. Why? Well, he goes on to tell you, they're such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their belly with good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They deceive the people that are stupid is what they do. Look, if you will, please, in Titus. Titus chapter 3. I want to try to move past this as quick as I can, but I'm aware of my time. I know I ate up my time talking about the other stuff. Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3. Look, if you will, down to, let's say, 8. The faithful saying, these things that I will thou confirm constantly, that they that have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Be careful to maintain good works. You say, why? Because it's profitable to you. Amen. That's a command. Now watch. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Where's it coming from? A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, keep on staying with him in the name of unity so that y'all can be bros and all that kind of stuff and have a good time. So nobody will think you're a bad guy. Why is it only in the church that somebody believes that? But if somebody came to your house and had the wrong belief about something, you wouldn't let them in your door. If they tried to teach your kid something that was wrong, you wouldn't even hesitate to say something. Even if they were the kid's coach and were not coaching them properly, you would say something. Why is it that when it comes to the most important thing on the face of this earth, spiritual matters, you don't have enough backbone to say, hey, we don't believe that and we ain't teaching that? He said, get away from them. Mark them. Stay away from them, he tells you. And then he says, they're unprofitable and vain. Why? A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Some of the greatest scriptural arguers come to 2 Timothy I've ever seen in my life are individuals who have moral issues. They have problems. They just hide it behind all their biblical arguments. They're just so wise and so smart about things. Don't be fooled by that. Somebody that talks, watch it. Watch it. Paul says, considering the end of their conversation. That means you're supposed to watch somebody a while. Don't just automatically. He says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Why? Your associate pastor here had been here for 14 years before he was even ordained. Most people wouldn't sit around and be patient that long. They get out of Bible school, ordain me, send me off, and let me do something. I'm ready to go. He said, or you say, why? You're not supposed to be a novice. Supposed to be proven so that when he's ordained, people aren't like, what are they ordaining him for? Oh, you know, you don't lay your hands suddenly on somebody. Somebody wants to go to the mission field. Just put your hands on them and see how they work out. No, let's see how they work out. Then we'll determine whether or not you want to ordain them. That's a serious matter, ordination. Well, I've been here 15 years and I wouldn't have been here unless somebody gave me a title. Okay. But then when you make somebody or give somebody a position, their life is already a testimony. Your deacons that are here, they've been here for years. You've watched their life. You didn't listen to their words. You watched their life. And when you decided on those deacons and stuff like that, and I presented the ones to you, I believe the Lord will have you, your trustees are the same way. You look at them and say, you know what? I know some things about them by watching how they live, not just, you know, well, we just saw them. They came on the scene, and they just seemed to know so much about the Bible. They just seemed to be so busy, and they just seemed to be doing so much, and they just seemed to be so excited, and they seemed to be so sincere, and they seemed to be this, and they just watch a while. You'd be surprised what time will do. The old preacher has a great sermon, and I don't remember the name of it, but in that sermon, I think it's the one where he takes the baby and draws it into the unprofitable life or something, or the wasted life, I think it is. But in that sermon, he says, and time marches on. And then he draws a few more wrinkles, and he draws a few more things, and he said, then the Lord speaks to him, and time marches on. Well, when time marches on, you'd be surprised what loyalty is worth to somebody. You'd be surprised what somebody who's just been faithful for a lot of years, how easy that is when you see that. It's kind of like, well, you know what? I ain't heard a lot of talk, but I see a lot of action. So therefore, I have confidence. Lay hands suddenly. Some people are just looking for a title. People don't follow titles. They follow courage. They follow faithfulness. In a big hurry to get out and set the world on fire, you're going to come back for more matches before long. And you're going to have to clean up your own dead bodies you burned up along the way. Take it from somebody that knows. Slow down. Don't be in such a hurry. Somebody that comes in and all of a sudden they blow into your life and they got all this stuff. They're blah, 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 blah. You've got to stop and ask yourself, I wonder why it is that all of a sudden this is happening now, and why, if this individual knows so much, why he doesn't have his own church, and why he doesn't have his own following, and why he doesn't, what's he doing here? And why is he talking to me about it? Because you're a Bible scholar, or maybe something's up. Maybe he thinks you're a weak link in the chain. And so he's fishing the pond. He's figuring, yeah, come on, let's see if I can get you to bite on that. And then the next thing you know, you're done. You say, well, what are you supposed to do? Get away. It's dangerous. If the devil were to show up here right now and say, I need to have an argument with you over John 3:16, you know what I'd say? Lord, where are you at? You say, but you know that verse real well. He'd convince me I did. That'd hook me. He'd be thinking he's interested in my opinion. Like I could persuade him, even though the Holy Spirit and God couldn't. He'd persuade. You really know that. You might be able to turn me around. I mean, I just want to talk about it. You know, iron sharpeneth iron. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to talk about it. Maybe you can enlighten me, and maybe you can show me some things that I haven't seen. I mean, I'm open. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm open to your arguments. Like, well, why are we even arguing about this? I don't even believe this. Well, I mean, you know, unless you can refute this, no thank you. I ain't even arguing with you. I don't even waste time arguing with charismatics. You say, why? They're not interested in hearing what I got to say. Somebody comes in this church, they know we don't believe in speaking in tongues. And if they don't know that, it won't be more than two services before they figure that out. You say, why? Because I say it all the time. You say, why? To keep the roaches away. I don't want them here. In the interest of iron sharpeneth iron. Can you really show me? No, I can't show you. You're not interested in seeing. We're going to turn the lights on here in a minute and you're going to scatter. So just let me save you the trouble. You don't have to have answers for all those. Sometimes the best thing to do is just duck it. Just see you later, man. I ain't got time. Look in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse number 25. I hope this has helped. This should make you feel free. Now I'm going to say something. You're going to get upset when I say this, but I mean, honestly, if a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door, or a Mormon comes to my door, or Seventh-day Adventists, they don't come as much, but Mormons and Jehovah's Witness will come. Latter-day Saints, they come. Those two come all the time. That's works and all this kind of stuff. If they come to my door, you know what I do? I open the door and I say, how are you doing today? Fine. We would like to show you. I just want to tell you one thing. I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not going to change me. I'm not going to change you. Have a nice day. And I shut the door. You say, you shouldn't be so rude. Well, then you do with them whatever you want. You're going to straighten them out. They're there to straighten you out. I don't have time to waste with them. Now, if you want to argue with them, that's fine. How many were former Jehovah's Witnesses in here? Could I see your hands? How many former Seventh-day Adventists? Can I see your hands? How many former Mormons in here? Can I see your hands? No converts? How many former Catholics? My, my, my. You mean a Roman Catholic's got more sense than Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, and Mormons? Yeah, exactly what I mean to tell you. Most Catholics have a moral turpitude about them that if they get hit with the truth enough, you know what they'll do? They'll sit there and say, I can see that deal about Mary, and they can get it. Them other ones, they're so blinded, you're wasting your breath. Your number one convert from another religion is Roman Catholicism. Did you know that? Look at history. That's your convert. You came from Roman Catholicism. Anabaptists split off of Roman Catholics. But you don't see Presbyterians, generally speaking, or Episcopalians. You'll see Methodists every now and then. But your number one convert comes from Roman Catholics or from completely unsaved individuals. Well, then why waste your time with them? Just turn them over to God. I'll be praying for you. And if you're right, I guess I'm in hell. By the way, if I'm right, you're in hell. Bam! You shouldn't be that way. Why? I'm worried about them thinking I'm a bad guy? Good. Jesus had enemies. Those are the right kind of enemies. Don't talk to that guy. They'll tell. You usually get one of those, and if you handle it the right way, they don't ever come knocking again. You got a letter, an X on your door. Now, some of you know, you come to the door, or, you know, like, I'm sorry, I was cleaning my gun. Did you need something? I mean, if you wanted to see Jesus, I might could help you. You come back on my property again, you're going to see him or the devil one. Are you sure you're ready that your doctrine is right now, that you're ready to go? If you're not ready, don't come back in the name of Jesus. Verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose who? Themselves. But they'll only accept their instruction if God peradventure will give them repentance to what? The acknowledging of the truth. God can blind an individual where they can't see the truth. They may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him into the will. He's talking about words that have got them so tangled up they can't even see it. And unless God allows them to see the truth, if God doesn't turn on the light, what makes you think you can turn on the light? All through the Bible, he talks about that. Come, if you will, please, the Thessalonians. Thessalonians. I'm trying to give you the liberty to say, hey, you know what? I don't have to get along with everybody. I don't have to be a jerk. But I don't have to have the pressure on me that, quote, if I'm a good Christian, I get along with everybody. Hey, I can sit at the table and I can talk to anybody and do whatever, but there's certain lines we're not going to cross. And so you don't have to feel that pressure that, you know, we're going to have this big ecumenical move. Okay, well, that's fine. Y'all have it. Have a good time. I won't be there. Well, it's for the greater good. Okay, good. That's wonderful. Have at it. I won't be there. You say, why? How would it be right for me to have preached this to you for over 25 years now, and then an opportunity opens itself up for me to be recognized with some ecumenical council, and so for political benefits or for recognition or for getting our name out there or whatever, that you wind up doing that? What would that look like to you? Oh, extenuating circumstances? Exceptions to the rule? No. No, thank you. Well, you know, preacher, if you do that, you know, you'll get an opportunity to... No. No. That fellow I've been telling you about right now, if he were to call and say, hey, I'm going to be preaching to 3,000 people, and if you come up here, you can get a lot of help for your church, a lot of support for your church, and you can get meetings and this and that and the other. No, thank you. Well, but preacher, you could help so many of those people. Not, it ain't worth the price to sit on this platform with him. I ain't doing it. 2 Thessalonians, is this helping you at all? Y'all are just kind. Look at the Bible says this. He's talking about not working and not eating. And then he says in verse 6. Now we command you, brethren. Command me. That's a hard one. 3:6. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother, saved people, that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. Here he's not even talking about doctrinal issues. He's talking about traditions. He's talking about things that have been taught. And then he said, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. He's just talking about not hanging out with people that have a disorderly walk. He's not even giving you all the stuff in Corinthians about know not to eat with the one that's a fornicator and this and that and the other. He's just saying they're disorderly. They're out of order. They sow discord among the brethren. They're just always creating trouble. You know what he says? He said, don't get around them. Come on down to verse number 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Boy, that's a mouthful. But it's biblical. You know what he's saying? Get a job. Amen. Pay your bills. Pay for your responsibilities. You got divorced, I believe the Lord will forgive you for it. But he never relieved you of the responsibility of paying child support for your kids. I don't care if she was Attila the Hun. I don't care if she was Jezebel incarnate. I'm not kidding you. I don't care if she was the Wicked Witch of the West and going to turn green and melt or something like that. It don't matter. It doesn't relieve you of the responsibility that comes with having the kids. And you have no right to enjoy any pleasure at all until you've taken care of your legal responsibilities to the government and to your kids. I just believe they're charging too much. Should have kept her. It'd have been cheaper. Truth is you got rid of her. Because you were tired of her, you didn't matter. It didn't make no difference. You got a responsibility. Well, I can't pay it. I guess you better get another job. There, you find for me in the Bible where it says, well, you know, the government's laid more you can pay. That ain't right and all that kind of stuff. Hey, I'm telling you. I'm trying to tell you, Bible, you want to be a Christian? You get mad at me if you want to get mad at me. It's testimony as a Christian man that I'm still going to be responsible for my offspring. I think if they're going to go down here to one of these banks and have that stuff, that whoever that child is born to, when some woman comes down there, that there ought to be an addendum attached to that and says, by the way, this is who left this here, and this is who you can contact. They'll be glad to pay for that kid for 18 years. Well, it doesn't matter. You're feeling kind of nauseated. See, you never think about what you do to the kids. Because you're so bitter at her or bitter at him, you're so mad about it, you don't care about the cannon fodder. You die trying taking care of them, whether they like it or not. And the same thing goes. You call yourself a preacher and you don't pay your bills? Well, I pay my tithe. I didn't ask you that. You pay your bills? They had a lady not long ago in, I believe it was in Ohio, somewhere there in the Midwest. I think it was Ohio. And she was behind, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars to the government. And so the government contacted, because she put on one of her returns about charitable giving. You know what the government said? The government said, if you can afford to give to them, you can give to us, and we want our money from the church. So before you give any money to the church, you pay us. So, well, they shouldn't be doing that. She should have been paying her taxes. You know what? That's doing? That's actually helping the church, because I'm not going to be complicit in you not paying your bills under the auspices I'm giving to Jesus. Amen. Amen. We used to have them here. They call up here, you know, so-and-so. You can tell it's a bill collector, you know. I don't know how they get the name or get the phone number, but one idiot here put down as his home phone number the number of the church. Yeah, he really did. A Bible Believers Baptist Church, the guy didn't even listen to what I was saying. Is so-and-so there? I said, well, no, he's not here right now. He said, well, you know, we're kind of looking for him. I said, who is this? And he said, well, I'm not really allowed by law to tell you who this is. Is this so-and-so's residence? And I said, well, I guess it might be on Sunday. And he said, what is this place? I said, it's a church. What are you, a bill collector? And he said, I said, well, let me just say this about whatever you're doing. I'm sorry, and it's a sad state of affairs when a person that calls himself a Christian, that you're calling a church to be able to get the money that you're owed. I apologize for him in advance. I hope you find him and get him to pay his bills. He showed up at church Sunday. I said, can I see you just a minute? Yes, sir. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Preacher, how you doing? Boy, I've had a great week and all that. I said, a bill collector called here looking for you the other day because he said you hadn't paid your bills and you gave this number as your residence. Well, that's none of your business. I said, I didn't call. He called me. How is it not my business? I just answered the phone. Well, what did you tell him? I'm thinking, son. I said, I told him that I hope he was able to locate you and that you generally were here on Sunday, and for all I know, he may show up today. He left before Sunday school. Never saw him again. What a thing. If that's you, you say, well, preacher, you know, I got so on and so forth. Then pick up the phone and call the people and say, I'm struggling right now. You don't have to run me down. I know I owe you money. I will call you every other day to let you know where I'm at, and I'll send you 50 cents a week if that's all I got. But you don't have to worry about running me down. I'm going to pay my bill. Just give me some time to get... You know what they'll say after they get up off the floor? Okay. Not your numbers change. Do, do, do. The number you have called is not in service at this. The number you have called does not have a voicemail set up. The number you have called is in Nevada somewhere. No. Hello, sir. How are you? This is David Peacock. Yeah, we're looking for you. Yes, sir, I know you owe me money, and I was trying to save you a phone call. And I just want you to know where I'm at and what I'm doing and what I'm trying to get done. You don't have to bring Jesus into it. You just tell him. You don't run from him. What kind of character is that? You got a backbone like a stinking cotton string. Call yourself a Christian and you can't stand up to that? What's wrong with you? Hiding, ducking, conniving, cheating, slippery, slimy. Remind me of a water moccasin. Well, they can't get me. You're like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. Just all the time, all over the place. Like you're having seizures or something. Some of you look like you got a bee in your britches already. Here's what happens. Invariably, verse 11, we hear there are some that walk among you disorderly, not at all, working not at all. What happens when you're not working? You're in everybody's business. You're on Facebook and you're on all the other sites and looking at what everybody else is doing, and you're checking this and checking that, and who's doing what and who's doing this and who's doing that, and what are the people in Hollywood doing and what's going on. You say, why? You ain't got nothing to do. You're just jumping around, and you're all the time, well, I wonder what they're doing. You've got too much time on your hands. Facebook stuff, anyway, I can't get there into that. I don't get that. You used to, when you come in from work, you're so tired, you ain't got time to even type. And some of you come in from work, and before you can have dinner, it's like, I just got to see who contacted me. They wouldn't let me look while I was at work. I got to tell you this real quick. This fella got upset when I was talking about guns in church and all that kind of a deal, and you know, this open carry stuff, you know, and guy standing at the door while I went to a meeting. He's standing at the door, you know, and he's standing up there shaking hands. He's got his hand like this. And I said, expecting trouble there, brother? And he goes, OC, brother, OC. I said, oh, OC. He's like OCD or what is that? I thought he was cutting up. He goes, open carry, brother. In this state, we have open carry. I said, you expecting trouble up here from these visitors, these little kids or something? He goes, I have a right. I said, okay, man, I just want to ask you a question. Do they let you carry that at work? Are you a policeman or something? You 5-0? What are you, Donnie Detective? What is that? You're in church. Why? Is that because the only place that you get to do it, mommy lets you take it to church? What is that? He said, well, what do you mean? About that time, the pastor walked up and he kind of rolled his eyes at me. So I was kind of like, okay, that's kind of like, for me, that's like saying, you got permission, take his head off. I see people coming in there with families coming in there. Here's this guy, all of a sudden, he's never had anything, and he went and maybe shot a gun into a thing right there and said he could fire it, and they gave him a license, and so now he's running around, I'm a big guy, man, I got me a gun. He's one of them guys that sticks it in his back pocket and he goes to McDonald's. You always got to make sure when he grabs his wallet, it's kind of like, oh, sorry, I didn't say that. big, tough guy. I'm impressed. I'm so majorly impressed. And so I said to him, I said, would mommy let you carry that around the house or anything like that? What do you mean? I said, you wear that at your house around your kids and everything? I wear it when I'm washing dishes. I said, you have attack roaches or something? Why would you do that? Never know when might be trouble. I said, yeah, and I'm thinking I know why that trouble's coming anytime you're around. I said, do they let you carry that at work? What does that have to do? There's my answer. I said, if they won't let you carry it at work, why would you come and bring it to church and put your pastor in a position to tell you I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't do that? Well, I have a right. I said, you don't care about people in Jesus Christ at all, do you? I said, if I pulled up out here with a couple of kids with me and my wife and I saw you standing here at the door, I'd get back in my car because I didn't come to some kind of a patriot meeting or some kind of a Who Shot John meeting or some kind of a Wild Wild West shoot 'em up and all that kind of stuff. And if you have to have the church as your place that you can carry in public to show what a tough guy you are, I said, I'd walk out the door. And the preacher said, well, what should I do? And I said, well, I don't know, preacher. I couldn't tell you. Do whatever you want to do. But I said, that's a liability. That guy's not a law enforcement officer. Well, while I'm on it, since some of you look kind of chalky around the gills right now, well, I don't, you know, well, why do you want to carry it here? They let you carry it at work? I'm not talking about if you're a policeman. Do you realize if you pop somebody in here and you happen to miss and hit somebody else, the liability's not just on you and they can sue you for everything you got because you hit an innocent bystander? They don't ever tell you that with the OC and I got a license and all that kind of stuff. You hadn't had any training. They'll rake you over the coals. They'll take every dime you got. They'll take every penny you got in the bank. They'll take your house. They'll take your car. They'll take your firstborn child. You say, why? Because you killed an innocent bystander. And not only that, you put the church in a liability situation because you did it on church ground. If one of these boys around here that has law enforcement training and that kind of a deal do it, it's on the agency they work for. Look it up! The idea that you got to come to church and have a gun. I could carry a gun. Can you imagine your pastor up here? All right, let's take our Bible, bless God, turn to Genesis 1. You hearing what I'm saying? Shuck them if you got them, baby. Want people to know around here when we believe God, guns, and guts, boy. Hallelujah. You know, my foot. God can't. Well, preacher, what are you going to do? God can take care of us. That foolishness is going through here, and people come to a church like that. They think, man, what is this place here? This is a bunch of patriots or something getting around? All because of one or two guys that went out. They never had any authority over anything at all. They're wannabes, but they never were able to be. And so now all of a sudden they went out and got somebody and hoodooed them and told them they knew all about stuff. They've had no training whatsoever, and now they got a gun. Boy, I'm all for you having a gun, but how about learning how to use it and knowing when to leave it at the house? John Wayne. I've seen you in the parking lot. You know, what is that? I didn't ask for your driver's license. CCW, carrying a concealed weapon. Praise the Lord, aren't we having a good meeting? Aren't you glad I you say, what is that? For me, that's just a disorderly walk. For me, that's just an individual. I don't want to be around you when the shooting starts. You know what? You'll probably, first of all, you'll probably wet your pants. Then the second thing you'll do is you'll probably shoot yourself. Amen. You'll probably shoot yourself in the foot, and then you'll wind up wounding somebody else going, "Oh my God, oh my God. I'll take him hostage. I'll kill him." You know, it's like, relax. You've got to do that. You're a man. Okay. I got a pistol. I got a shotgun. I'm not going to shoot you at a rifle. Get one of these sniper guys to do that. I want something. I guarantee you, I'm going to hit you or scare you slap to death. I mean, I want about nine chances to hit you from here to about Brother Magdalene. And better look about that big. You say, what do you do here? Put it in God's hands. I'll be jumped if your pastor's going to get up here and, you know, make a big deal about that. That's real welcoming to visitors. You know what they think? They think, what a bunch of Fruit Loops. They don't even have that problem in the charismatic church. That's only in the Bible-believing crowd. I've got a right. Okay, great. Praise the Lord. What a blessing you are to the body of Christ. The body of Christ always needs at least one hemorrhoid. Verse 12. Oh, man, it's late. Let me give you these two more verses here, three more, and then we'll go home. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. With what? Boys, that's not a command to women. That's to you. Shut up and go to work. Quit talking about all the millions of people you're reaching and all the tracts you're passing out and all the stuff you're getting done and all the ministries you got. Shut up and go to work. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and keep hanging out with him, because you know iron sharpeneth iron. And you know, preachers are just supposed to be open to new things and false doctrine and teaching, because you know, the church is just a free-for-all where you just let anybody and everybody say what they want to say. You don't do that in your family. Nobody does that in a workplace, and there's no place for it in the church. It's not open discussion on doctrinal matters. It's a church. It's not open discussion on what Bible is the right version. There's one. Well, preacher, you know, you shouldn't be so close-minded about that. He says, have no company with him. Why? That he may be ashamed. That's the right kind of peer pressure. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. That's the hard part. I got a bunch more of those, but I'll leave it at that because we're way past time. But that should take pressure off of you. Some people, you just have to leave them alone and let the Lord work it out when you get the judgment seat of Christ. And trust me, He will. All right, let's stand together and be dismissed. Thank you for your patience tonight. I appreciate that. Sorry I went a couple minutes over. And if you have a gun, unless you're the police, why don't you just leave it in the car? You can pick it back up when you get back out there. And by the way, tomorrow when you go to work, go ahead and strap it on. I mean, you got a license. I mean, you got a license and you carry it through the airport. You got a license. Why would you want to put the preacher in a position to say, well, who are you to tell me I can't carry? They tell you at the airport you can't. They tell you at certain dining establishments you can't. They can't tell me. Yes, they can. And then you know what you can do? Go eat somewhere else. Why don't you carry it on school ground tomorrow when you get ready to take your kid, okay? No, really. You got a license? You have that thing in the school ground tomorrow when you go drop your little kiddies off, okay? God help you if they happen to know you got it. They can't tell me. I got a right. See? We let everybody else tell us, but then when the preacher says, listen, why can't you just leave it in the car? Well, you're against guns. No, I ain't against guns. I'm for you having it. Somebody comes in your house, say, I hope you know Jesus. You fixing to see him or the devil won. Really? But folks, you're not. Listen, let me give you a statistic and we'll go. Look it up. Check it out, okay? Less than 1% of the policemen that are involved in police work for 35 years ever used their weapon in a use of force or deadly force situation in 35 years, less than 1% nationwide. And you're worried about something happening. Those are people that are involved in trouble all the time. There's a good chance of all people that would probably need to use it, it would be then less than 1% in a deadly force situation. And so you're worried about something's going to happen to you. Well, the police are there all the time and don't even happen to them. So don't let the people scare you into thinking that there's a booger behind every bush. We'll protect you between here and your car, okay? And when you get in your car, strap it on, baby. Hey, Bessie, good to have you back, honey. I know you missed me. You didn't get cold out here in the parking lot, did you, baby? We good now. Let's go to McDonald's. All right.